And I've got a rundown for the A-listers that are in Chicago today, either making appearances or actually speaking at the DNC. Mike Vicara, the Washington bureau chief at News Nation, is on a line. Mike, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm great, John. It's great to be here as always. I especially enjoyed the speed jokes. Got a laugh this morning.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's high praise, because I would imagine a sophisticated newsman like you has a very high humor threshold. If we can crack that, we're doing something right.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very highbrow, John.
Well,
you don't know that about me, but it's true.
We do hope that people enjoy the city. We've got great weather. They gussy the place up. They put mulch around the trees. The buses are running back and forth between McCormick and United Center. What will your assignment be, Mike?
Well, I'm the Washington bureau chief, and I've played a role in setting up the locations and the coverage and getting people into town and having a hand in our editorial coverage as well. Right now, we're very eager to find out exactly when the former president, President Obama, the current president, President Biden is due to speak tonight. Logistic things and editorial things and just about all things convention. That's under my umbrella, John.
It's interesting. I think there's two stories to tell. One will be how the city handles any unrest that may erupt. And then while we thought inside the convention hall will be the great drama about who the nominee is, we now know who is on the ticket. So I guess it's about messaging on the inside and containing the crowds on the outside, right?
Yeah. And, I think the Democrats really, really, really want to avoid a split screen situation. And literally, if there is unrest on the streets, if things get out of hand and there are police actions and clashing with protesters, and then the major speeches and the keynote speeches and, of course, the nominee speeches, Governor Walz on Wednesday and Kamala Harris on Thursday. That is obviously, if not a worst-case scenario, something that they are very, very eager to avoid. We know that, and they've been talking as if the situation is under control, but to a large degree, it's out of their hands. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, it's an incredibly unusual situation. I mean, here we have President Biden addressing a crowd tonight that includes people who helped push him out of the race, the congressional leaders and donors in the hall, and he speaks to a party that is demonstrably happy that he's gone.
Given
the sharp rise in enthusiasm that we see reflected in polling and her surge, Kamala Harris, vice president surge, since she was elevated to the top of the ticket. So on one hand, his challenge is not to, betray any bitterness. I mean, he's a pro, he's been doing this a long time. He won't do that. Plus, it may tarnish his legacy. But I think he's got two objectives: highlight what he regards as the successes of the past 4 years, accept the praise he'll get in the hall, and basically go out on top. And then the second thing, of course, is to do what he can to unite the party and strengthen the transition to the new leader of the party at the top of the ticket, and that being Kamala Harris.
I guess it was, when you think about it now, it makes perfect sense to have him kick the convention off and then not be the second speaker on the last night, but rather be the first speaker on the first night. That's
right.
That just, he'll get so much more genuine applause. And imagine if he was the last speaker of the last night. What if he was at the top of the ticket? That round of applause would have felt a little artificial, if you ask me.
Yeah, I was in Milwaukee, a month ago. The conventions by their nature, John, there's a giddiness, there's a festivity, there's a gung-ho. I mean, these are the hardest of the hardcore people that are delegates that are part of the process every day and are devoted party stalwarts, right? Those are what delegates and donors are, and plus everybody else that's here that's sort of on the periphery or adjacent to the actual convention. The Republicans were psyched. Remember, just 2 days before the start of the convention, there was the infamous attack in Butler, Pennsylvania, on the former president. Then on the day of the convention, the big reveal of J.D. Vance as the vice presidential candidate. And so that was sort of choreographed well. And so there were questions, dark clouds looming over what we're about to experience over the next 4 days here in your hometown of Chicago, especially with regard to the protesters and with regard to the fact that President Biden was lagging in the polls and sinking, and there was a lack of enthusiasm from rank and file of the party. That's all changed now. And so there's going to be, you know, this very unusual, again, situation where there's a passing of the torch. And if there's any evidence of that you need to know that this is sort of a valedictory address or not necessarily farewell, President Biden, instead of, you know, a post-convention bump and campaign swing where he tries to maximize the media exposure, which is traditional. After today, he finishes speaking tonight, he gets on an airplane, Air Force One, and flies out to a week-long vacation near Santa Barbara, California. So a lot has changed. There's no question about it since July 21st when he announced that he would not be seeking the nomination.
Speaking tonight, UAW President Sean Fain, who spoke at the RNC, he'll speak to anybody. I don't mean that critically. If I were him, I'd try and court favor wherever I could find it. Representative AOC, Hillary Clinton tonight, Jamie Raskin, Governor Andy Beshear, Senator Reverend Raphael Warnock, President Biden, you just mentioned that. Dick Durbin, our own senator, is going to speak at 6:30 this evening, I'm now learning. So that's I was wondering if Michelle Obama was going to speak, and she is going to speak as well now, right?
That's right. Yeah, Michelle Obama will speak, and
not tonight, this evening,
right? But tonight we are going to get a former first lady, and of course a former Democratic presidential nominee back in 2016, and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yeah,
another Illinois native. And what's fascinating about this is, you know, she's going to talk about how she was the first to really almost crack the glass ceiling. Or the marble ceiling, as some people in Washington call it, becoming the first female president. And so she's going to laud and endorse, obviously, Kamala Harris and talk about not only would she be the first woman president, she'd be the first woman of color. Was already the first woman of color to be vice president. But it's interesting in another sense in that she, you know, she lost in 2016 to Donald Trump, giving rise to his presidency and to the situation that Democrats now find themselves in. And so, you know, her appearance could serve the purpose of, you know, they want to move forward. The word that the Democratic surrogates keep using to describe the Harris surge in her candidacy is joy. It's sort of a talking point in one word. And they're trying to, you know, point towards the future. They use the word future a lot in the program and in the themes moving forward. But, you know, Hillary Clinton, to a certain extent, is going to remind folks of the lingering bitterness towards the MAGA movement, towards Donald Trump, and of course, towards the media. And so, you know, it's sort of a mixed bag to have her speak, but she has that right as a former nominee and former party luminary and Secretary of State, not to mention United States Senator. So a lot of interesting aspects and side stories and bounce pieces here in the offing tonight, Sean.
Well, I'll ask you to tell more of those stories this week. Mike Vaccara, Washington Bureau Chief at News Nation. You see him on TV and we'll hear him this week. Mike, thanks for giving us some of your time today. More speed jokes all week long if you need a chuckle.
I can't wait.
Yes, I'm sure. Thanks. I'm sure. Thank you.